The following message is from Crown Reformed Assembly.
So in the Fountain of Life Church, I'm a staff of the Fountain of Life Church. I was ordained pastor in what is now Crown Bible Church, January 1999. Some people are here that can witness to that. Sister Moji, God bless you for that. And through the years, this is 22 plus years. I'm not used to this. 22 plus years, and we thank God for how God has helped us. We thank God for how God has helped Crown Bible Church. I follow you guys from afar, whether you know it or not. All your Instagram posts, I'm looking at it. I'm asking Ruben, who did that? Okay, that is nice. I like it. No, I'm always following you people. And we thank God for your lives. We thank God for what God is doing through your life. I want to appreciate Pastor Zarimoro and Pastor Ina. I am very grateful for this privilege to share God's word with you and with every other person. We thank God for the guest ministers, Brother Oset. I was trying to tell him something. Where I come from, it's not easy to, how do I put it again? When he was speaking, I was like, wow, it's such a long time I've heard just one 45-minute stretch of word. The full complement of God's word. He instructs, he rebukes, he reproves, he teaches you. So that, that was what I got this morning. The compliment of the word of God. God bless you, sir. Thank you for how God has been using you. And I hope you will always understand that what God is doing in our lives is in stages. I say this because our topic is trends and truth. Or truth over trend. I, as usual, like to keep myself in check. So sometimes when I do a PowerPoint presentation when I'm preaching in church, it's not because I cannot I can't talk. It's to put myself in check. Sometimes I see one word and I'll go off tangent. I can talk 2 hours on one word because it just strikes a fancy. So I have given 43 minutes. I've finished 2 minutes already. All right. So having said that, truth over trend. Who is in charge? Quickly, the definition of trend. There are so many things our brother said, very instructive. And there's no way I'm going to say what I'm going to say today. I will not touch a little bit of what he said. And I'm very certain there's no way I'm going to say what I'm going to say today that the next minister will not say a little bit of what I said. I mean, they are so interwoven and they are a blessing. The Cambridge Dictionary explains trend as a general development or change in a situation or in the way that people are behaving. If my English is too much, it will be too much. No, I'm simple. When I say Cambridge Dictionary, people are like, I'm in church. Yes, this is, trend is not in the Bible. Show you here. That is an English expression. So I will open the Cambridge Dictionary. But in my study of trend, a word always came up time and again, and that's the word fad. And fad is important, and I've explained to you why the word fad would always come up again and again, and how those words interrelate when we are discussing truth over trend. On the other hand, fad is style, activity or interest that is very popular, for a short period of time. Nowadays, if I give my tailor trouser to sew, I don't know what he thinks of me. At my age, I know I'm shaved, but if you allow my hair to grow, it is not black. I cannot wear my trouser because I don't, and it's not stretch material. It is, all those khaki or chinooks. And the guy would have like, so there was a time in the 80s, he used to call him Michael Jackson. I mean, your trousers will never touch. I mean, it has to go up. I mean, you have to see your ankle or else it's not a trouser. But nowadays, things have come full circle. And so you give me a trouser and I'm like, go, look at me. It must enter my laps. You know, sometimes people are struggling. Some of us that are married, our wives, when they are wearing clothes, we are struggling to put it up for them. Praise the Lord. I won't say anything more than that. All right, having said that, so fad is like fashion, things that just come busting the scene, and before you know it, it's gone. But trend has a longer-lasting effect. Trend can literally last a lifetime. Remember, our first speaker spoke about the pre-modern era, the modern era, and we are in the post-modern era. The pre-modern era is full of myths. Myths and legends. Now, the modern era had to do with scientific proof. Someone would say, if it's not science, it's not true. And things like that. But the postmodern era, like he said, he's saying, come on, who told you there's truth, Seth? Truth is what you make of it now. Guy, forget it. There is no absolute. What works for you is what is true. And so people will ask, what is your truth? And those are trends. Now, they may take hundreds of years or a generation to pass through, but they always pass through. And trends have these weird characteristics, and which we are going to look at. Because there are so much thoughts, I will just touch a lot of scriptures. And let's start with Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 8 to 10. I'm going to be very fast, and for a reason of engagement, I like somebody with a pastor's voice. Somebody should give somebody a mic that can read for me. You know, pastor's voice, you know, you have to be... Okay, where I come from, our pastor's voice is not gentle. If it's gentle, you will not last in ministry. You have to shout. You have to be aggressive. Say, yes, I see the calling. But that's not, we know that's not, it's not about how your voice is. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, somebody should please read for me. Any translations will be okay. Can someone give you the mic? Okay.
It has already been in ancient times before us.
All right, thank you very much. I didn't know people still read KJV, but we thank God for your life, my brother. That is how I read the Bible. That was the scripture we used to memorize scripture. I don't know, do you understand? So if you say, give me a memory verse, I cannot quote it in NIV. It is KJV. That is where the Spirit is. Hallelujah. So I'm just joking, you know that. But it is important because sometimes when you read it in King James, you will not catch the full grasp of what the preacher is saying. The author of the book of Ecclesiastes is King Solomon. And Ecclesiastes simply means the preacher. And this guy preached. But you know the way he preached? He didn't preach the way most of us will preach. He didn't preach the way most of the authors of scripture preached. The perspective with which he preached was not like from God to man, rather from man observing God's work in creation and the way man behaves. And so we have to be careful when we read Ecclesiastes not to take verses out of context, because it has a conclusion. The last chapter of the last verse is the conclusion of the entire book you will read. So when some of us like Ecclesiastes, all is vanity, and we stop there. Like my brother said earlier on, I love what he said, the tension between the fact that we are transient and yet we have glory. Life is a paradox. It's a tension. It's the lion and the lamb. One of the songs is sung. Jesus is the lion, but then he's also the lamb. Oh, God is good. And yet it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hello? And so Ecclesiastes, this man was observing creation, was having, he was observing like culture. In fact, this is what I call a book of cultural anthropology. Some of us that went to school will like this book because it was observing human nature, human activity. The labor, you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you go to school. You know, some of us go to school and wondering, oh, what value is this school? Where will I be able to leave school so that I will work? You know, some of us want to work. And we're like, ah, how many years? 8 years. Ah! 4 years. Ah! You know, the way we just, ah! Every small thing. Ah! NYC. If I don't want to do NYC, we want to just graduate and just go and hit the market. But that's how life is. We all work. We all want to work. And he observed everything and came to a conclusion. One of the conclusions he said, well, we read, was that the eyes is not filled with sin, neither, man is not satisfied. What will be has already been. And so you cannot say there is something new that has never been. What does that tell you? It tells you trends. Things come and things what? Go. And they come again. Right now in America, one of the unfortunate products of postmodernism is, actually has to do with the concept of gender. They now say a man can choose to be a woman if he so identifies as one. I mean, look at me. I mean, I wish I didn't shave this morning. Like I say, oh, I am a woman. Now, to say I'm a woman is one thing. To insist that you call me a woman is another thing. So if you don't call somebody a woman, right now, I think a man was in jail because he refused to affirm the pronoun of his son that changed to be a daughter. Wasn't even a teenager yet. I think it was Canada. And that's the world we live in. And you say, ah, it has never been in this world. Are you sure? Lot's time. I was going to the book of Genesis, and it dawned on me that those guys were crazy. They were not just crazy. They were so crazy. And somebody asked me in my office, what is the end of all these things? How will it end? And I said something. There will be a reset. You didn't get that. Because history will always repeat itself. When a civilization is going crazy, something happens. The Greco-Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization. What we know is their philosophy. We did not know a lot about their lifestyle, the Epicureans. All they want is about pleasure. Whatever they can pleasure them. See, you get to a point of wickedness, what happens? God was switching civilization. You go back to square one. Okay, let me switch over. Like I said, too much information. Okay, let's go to the next thing. All right, so the character of trend is that what is fleeting is very temporal in relation to what the entire span of human history. Like I said, you may live an entire life and there's a trend in that 80 years that you live that is consistent. It's still a trend because your generation, the next generation may not have that idea, that behavior or that philosophy. It may be a different philosophy. So the fact that in your entire life, but Pastor, I'm only seeing one thing now since I was born. Don't worry. Your children will see something else. It may not be the same thing you are seeing. So it's still a trend. It's fleeting. The allure of trends. What's so special about trends? Why is it so hip? I mean, why do people want to be trendy? What's the unique thing about trends? When we talk about trend, we talk about the general direction of culture, of the world. Okay. We like the world, not the church world. But why is it that way? Because it answers a question. It solves a problem. There is no trend that is useless. A trend seeks to solve a problem. And what's the problem? It seeks to solve a felt need. Either a need for acceptance, a need to boost your ego. There is a need a trend is seeking to resolve or to solve. Now, some of us think that because it's a trend, it is automatically useless. That's not true. A trend doesn't need to be bad. A trend is not necessarily a negative thing. But a trend essentially is trying to solve a problem. Now, is that solution the right solution? Now, that's another thing. But it's trying to solve a problem. So when that tailor sews my trouser, and he does not consider the fact that I was born in the 70s, and I am not a young person. I'm not Gen Z. Who is Gen Z? Yeah, all of you Gen Z. You know, some of I'll talk about Gen Z's later. He wants me to be relevant. That's what he's doing. He's trying to solve a problem for me. But I'm telling you, come, that is not the problem. That is not my problem. Like he said, my brother said, my problem is how do I pay school fees? I even noted that, okay, the fathers know. All right, that's what school fees coming in next 2 months. I know there's holiday in August, but man, September is hitting you real hard. And so we are thinking September. The average married man with children is thinking September. July is out of the way. August is inconsequential. His problem is September. Oh, Sister Moji, I know Sister Moji knows what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to the next one. So the thing about trend is what? The characteristics of trend are: 1, it's transient; 2, it brings a felt need; 3, it is popular. And what I call popular is what I term the mob mentality. The mob mentality is people just jump on it without necessarily thinking through why they are doing it, or why they actually believe in it or saying it. Matt Walsh, he's a Catholic, but he did a documentary, What is a Woman, in America. It's really trending, Daily Wire. And he went about asking people on the street, what is a woman? And he deliberately asked all the women, and most of them says, a woman is anything you make it to be. I mean, how can a woman tell you, a man, tell you that a woman is anything you want it to be? So what is it? They could not answer what a woman is. And the reason why they could not answer what is a woman, because they realized that the culture, the trend, which is transgenderism, will make it look like they are being closed-minded, bigots, the what they call tough. You read news now. Don't act like it's only church you come to. You read news. Tough is all those feminists that they only care about the concept of being a woman. They are closed-minded, and all they affirm is only the female gender. And so, people like this tennis star, Malatinova, I think that's her name. I think I missed the way I pronounced the name, is considered a tough because she does not believe that biological men that transition to look female can play against women. I mean, imagine I say, now I'm a female, I shoot myself some hormones, and I want to play a sport against natural women. I mean, and I win an Olympic medal, and I say, hey, here comes the best person in the world. One of the comedians, a worldly comedian, Dave Chappelle, I mean, I'm just saying it because usually I don't say names, but he said the year, what is the Kardashian dad? I've forgotten his name, just kept in my head. Huh? The real name. Kris Jenner. The year that Kris Jenner transitioned to be a woman, he became the woman of the year. And he was joking, a man said he is a woman, and all of a sudden, Vogue magazine gave him the woman of the year. What happened to all you women? What have you been doing with your lives? I know he was yabbing the women, and everybody laughed. But that's it. That's the culture we live in. So everybody on the street of the U.S. refused to honestly say what a woman is because of fear. And all of a sudden, they say, no, a woman is whatever you make it to be. So the mob mentality is what drives trends. Case in point, look at Lagos, Nigeria. Let's come to Lagos, Nigeria now. Somebody, you need to say, scream the word, Ole! Now, Ole is thief. And what happens? People look for tire. I mean, they have no clue what is happening. And before you know it, whoever becomes the victim of the cry, Ole, is dead. The mob. Okay, let me bring it closer home. Look at the church, for instance. I like to use examples that we can relate with. Have you heard somebody say, let us shout hallelujah? Everybody scream hallelujah. Do an experiment. He now says, if you know this week will be difficult for you, shout hallelujah. You will notice that everybody will scream hallelujah before they realize he said, if you want this week to be difficult for you. That's the mob. In church, we just follow the general trend. We don't think. Someone said, when you come to church, don't come thinking, come believing. I'm sorry. That is wrong scripture. I don't know where you got that scripture from. When you come to church, come thinking. Because your believing is to be anchored on your word, thinking. All right. So, and the result of this trend, it will always, see, that is why the preacher man said all is vanity. Why? Because the result is what? A feeling of what? Hopelessness, dejection, disappointment, despondency. Literally, if you have to live based on trends, at the point, you feel empty. Because they cannot deliver true satisfaction, true joy, true peace. And that is why you look for the next trend. You didn't get my story. You did what I just said. Because you are despondent, you have to look for what? The next trend. You're trying to fill a vacuum. You're trying to fill a void. There's a felt need in the heart of man. All right. I'll talk about one of the examples of trends, just one, because there are many in culture, and that's the social media fads. Now I put Gen Z. I've never heard so much complain in my life of any generation than I've heard of a Gen Z generation. Every HR person that I know, they just tire for that generation. Because why? When they come to look for a job, and you eventually give them a job, they feel entitled to do whatever they want to do, how they want to do it, and when they want to do it. The concept of process doesn't sink well in their heart. And if somebody shouts at them, the next day what? They resign. They said what? I can't take this. And they're like, why can't anybody get this? Who gave birth to them? Oh, we gave birth to them. There's no way. We did. But there are certain things that influence this generation and most of us, and that is the place of social media. I said the word social media because social media is a vehicle of trends and fads. It's a strong vehicle. Very strong vehicle. Somebody said something. Whenever the naira is crashing, that is when you see the government will arrest one high-profile person. And everybody will talk about that high-profile person. Whereas your life is becoming worse. You didn't get what I say. Why do you think no matter how much you rake, the Big Brother is not good for culture? Government will always collect their money and say, do it. Why? It keeps the people away from what? The serious things that matter. They need entertainment. Have you noticed that Abacha will give you public holiday for Super Eagles winning any cup? Under 17 cup. The next public holiday. I love Abacha. Sorry. In those days, the president Abacha, he was a very good man. He was generous with public holidays. Not like these ones that are just being stingy. Super Eagles will win under 17. The next public holiday, we will rejoice. We will be happy. We will forget our what? Our sorrows. I say this to say that social media is one of the most important vehicles that fads and trends ride on. Now, they serve. It's very addictive. They're always seeking for the latest things. It rewires the brain. So that three things are in jeopardy. I write them because I'm going to contrast them with what I'm going to say later. Focus, consistency, and structure. Simply put, your neurons are firing in every direction. You cannot sit down without opening your phone. Even in church, when you open your phone, you check your social media account. What is the latest things? Everybody's always, what is trending? All right, these are fads. And in church, I will do a crash of trends in church, a crash. I'm a student of church history. I love church history. So sometimes I like to refer to what we actually go through, what we see, what we experience. The past 30 years in the body of Christ, some of these things has been trending. Oh, there was a legalist movement. It trended. Legalist movement trended. We're talking about, I don't want to call the names of ministries in order to, but it was a trend. When we got born again, easily into a legalist trend. And so legalism became the order of the day. Women don't wear pants. I mean, somebody wore 3-year rings in 1 year. I mean, you can't try that. I think I'm looking at me, I'm just joking, so I'm with you, But you can't try that. Nose ring, what were you thinking? And so legalism became the order of the day. They judge your spirituality based on certain standards that the man, quote unquote, or the pastor decided is a godly or holy attire, and not on facts, not on principles of decency. And so many things that legalism rubbed us off. But it was a trend. Deliverance ministries. I remember one day, I was in Foursquare Gospel Church. I was, somebody knows all those experiences. We did all manner of crazy things. There was a sister. When you are fair, you're in trouble. When you are yellow, you're in trouble. When you are yellow and fine, you're in worse trouble. When you are yellow and fine and don't have a strong personality, when you are the one that everybody can, you're in trouble. They will use you for experiment. And one of such unfortunate sister, I don't know, for some reason, they said she had an issue, and they called us, and we had to do deliverance. And we were, at the point, we were dancing around. I don't know why I actually did that, or what exactly I was asking for. I know I'm yabbing myself. Yes, laugh. It's good to laugh. If you don't laugh, you won't learn. See, I yab myself, and anybody can yab me. So it's okay, you have me, yes. And we are dancing around, and we are praying and doing all manner of things. And see, honestly, I can't remember the end of it. But when I remember that image haunts me in my mind. I said, what was I thinking? Deliverance ministries, everything was deliverance. At a point, if you didn't have a healing or miracle-centered ministry, it's not the church to go with. The church that is trendy, the church that believes in miracles, signs and wonders. It was something that hit home and hit hard. Then we now talk about the esoterics. The esoterics was, I know I'm fast. I have to be fast. Time is running out. Pastor, you remember those days? You cannot preach a sermon without giving a topic, the mystery of. If mystery is not in the topic of your sermon, it is not a message. Hallelujah. Do you remember that day? I know some of you are still young. But some that can remember will tell me. And so we are looking for mysteries. Hallelujah. You don't open the scripture and say, what is the mystery behind? And at a point, I wondered, okay, if everything is so mysterious. Those are the esoterics. Now, we come, leave the mysterious guys. Now come to the pragmatics. Pragmatics are those that whatever works is right. So we're looking for things that, I mean, things that we can do that are practical, that can get things done. And so the motivational speaking became a thing because you use, quote unquote, logic, human logic, to get the people to do what you want them to do. And so motivational speakers became a strong force. Every pastor was a pastor come motivational speaker. On Sunday, he was a pastor. He's Monday to Saturday. Look at his thing. He's a consultant. He's a life coach. He's a human resource. Praise the Lord. I know. I'm so sorry. Some of us are, I know. If you're trained to be a life coach, be trained. But I'm just saying a trend. It was a trend because all we knew was to motivate. And so we use the Bible, the scripture, to motivation. And that was a trend. Nowadays, have you noticed on social media, some people say, the way they hear the motivational speaking, you are hungry. And say to the world, you can rule the world. Say, motivational speaking, don't kill this person. Have you seen that kind of? Nowadays, people hear motivational speaking in a way I would never believe is possible. Because that was truth. But now I tell you, motivational speaking, go and motivate you. You want to fall down over the train. Go and somebody will now stand in the middle of the train track and say, yeah. I say, someone now write, motivational speaking. Now, motivational speaking, they call this guy. It's crazy. Who would have thought that today we will mock motivation speech or speaking? Because at the point in our lives, not too long, it was gospel. Then the recanters. I want to say something, recanters. This is much more sensitive. The recanters are a group of people. Like I said, I do church history. I like to be very practical. These actually do concern our fathers in the faith. There has been a trend of a lot of them recanting their positions, their doctrinal positions that they've held literally all their lives and has driven thousands, hundreds of thousands to believe. One was Kenny E. Hagin. Hagin said one day he was about to wear his socks. I have 10 minutes more. God help me. I will stop. But I need to explain something to you. He was about to wear his socks and a thought hit him. And the thought was, did I tell you you will get a 100-fold increase of all of your giving? That was what inspired him to write the Midas Touch before he died. Last 2 weeks, Crafodola said he has encountered grace. And so his preaching on tithing has changed. Before then, people have had to come to denounce certain doctrinal positions that they lived for, or some of them died for. And the church is like, what happened? I know you guys are in Crown. You don't have any problem with doctrine. Your doctrine is sound. I mean, I know you people don't know what is happening out there, but these are the things that is happening out there. Okay. There's so many things to say. I will come and discuss the issue of the recanters in the course of the concept of truth. So I will discuss a thing or two about that very soon. But the topic is truth over trend. What is truth? John chapter 18, 33 to 38. I'll tell you the story. I don't have the time. Jesus was in front of Pilate, and Pilate said, "What are you, the king of the Jews?" And Jesus asked Pilate, "Is it you that is saying it, or is what you heard other people say?" And he said, Is it me? And Pilate was like, "These people want to kill you, and you are saying, are you asking the same question?" Then Jesus Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my people, or my messengers will make sure that I am not being handed over to the Jews." Then Pilate said, "Then you are a king." Then Jesus said something. For the first time, Jesus preached. "So for this cause have I come to the..." Of all his crucifixion trial. That's the very first time Jesus made a declaration that wasn't necessarily an answer to a query. He said, I've come to this world. Verse 38. So that's verse 37. I've come to bear witness of what? Of the truth. And those that are of the those who are in the side of the truth, what? Bear what? Witness with it. Okay. Someone should read it. Let's be very precise. John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. Listen to what Jesus Christ said. Someone should read it very quickly if you're there. I want to be very precise with the words. They matter a lot. Oh, yeah. Please give him.
My God. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth.
And those who are inside of truth,
and everyone who is of the truth, here's my voice.
Yeah. Depending on what translation you use, those who are inside of the truth, listen to me. Anyone who is inside of truth, hears my voice. So Jesus came to bear witness of truth. Then Pilate replied, what is truth? And the problem is that he didn't wait for an answer. He just walked away. Now, today we're not going to walk away. I'm not going to tell you everything about it because the next minister is going to tell you a lot more you need to hear. But truth is reality. Like our brother said earlier on, truth is better put, what is real. And who determines what is real more than the person that created what? Reality. Hello? When we say objectivity, objectivity can only be objective in the eyes of the person that what? Created the object. Let me just use those words for lack of better expression. When the Bible says, let all men be liar and let God be what? What does that mean? That means that no man has the ability to conceive of truth beyond the person who created what? Truth. Truth is reality. Now, how do you know what is truth? Epistemology means it's a study of how you know what you know. I don't know, do you understand my English? Okay. How do you know what to know? It's very important. Because when people say, now I know, my question is, did you know before? Kenneth Hagin said something. Is that the Holy Ghost told him, did I promise in my scripture 100-fold? And that was what led him to change his mind about the 100-fold giving. My question at that time, because everybody was tripping, I was not happy. Do you know why I was not happy? Because nothing changed. Thank you very much. Let me open it. Nothing changed. For 60-something years, all he lived and said was that the Holy Ghost has said he will give you 100-fold. So if in the 61st year, the same Holy Ghost asked you, did I say in my word I will give you 100-fold? The question we don't ask ourselves, who was talking for 60 years? Crawford Dollar said last week that he encountered the gospel of grace. So what was he encountering for up to 50 years? Now, I'm not saying your knowledge cannot increase, or you cannot have a better appreciation of God's word, but there's something that is missing. The epistemology. How do you know what you know? If it's an encounter that showed you that tithe, what you now believe of tithe is your problem, my question is, what was your encounter 50 years ago? And what will be your encounter tomorrow? Encounter is not the basis to know truth. there are two ways to know truth. General revelation, in Romans chapter 1, God created all things. And by looking at creation, you can decipher God's hand. You can decipher truth and reality. And more importantly, special revelation. That means it's a revelation that you cannot know except God reveals that specially and specifically to you. And that revelation is seen in John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Bible says that when the Spirit of truth shall come, it shall lead you unto all truth. The Holy Ghost is first introduced to us as the Spirit of what? In John chapter 16. He shall lead you to all truth. All what? Reality. I have 5 minutes more. I have 4 more slides. But I'm going to stop. You can't know everything today. Don't worry. We will have a part 2 next year. Truth is logical. It's coherent and it's intelligible. The Word of God is the written expression of God's divine truth. Next slide. God's ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts are His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's truth are timeless. It saves. It's the power of God unto salvation. To save a human being is God's truth. Sanctifies you, sets you apart, cleanses you, washes your mind, washes your ideology, washes so that, wow, this person is pretty. Some people think, this guy looks, he looks clean. It's not that he's clean because he's physically clean, because he's holy from within. God's word, which is truth, does that. And it's undefeated. We cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. And it's always relevant. Remember, trend seeks to be relevant. God's truth is what? Always relevant. And so when you say truth over trend, thank God for the answer. He didn't say what is in charge. He says who is in charge. The encapsulation of truth is the person of Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the who. Some of us would take Jesus with a pinch of salt. Mm-mm. Jesus is the entire pepper soup. He's not the pinch of salt. He's the ingredient. He's the stove. He's the gas. He's the fire. He's the process. He's the water. He's the finishing. And he gives himself us. He said, this is my body. Take, eat. This is my blood that was shed for the remission of your sins. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Please don't mess with Jesus. Don't mess with truth. Praise the Lord. Let's thank God for his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that we have learned.
You've been listening to a message from Crown Reformed Assembly, a Bible Center church in Ogba, Lagos. To know more about us, please visit our website at www.crownreformed.org.